You could open up your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. A lot of people might not know, but I don't like talking in front of people. I told a story once before when I was in seventh grade. I had to say a poem in front of my class, and my teacher was recording it. And at the end of it, she was going to play the poem over the recording in front of the whole class. And at the end of class, I stole the cassette because I didn't want to hear it. You know? There was another time when I was in college, I was taking communications, and I had to do a presentation in front of the class. And it was 50% of my grade. And at the end, I just didn't go to even take it. And I ended up failing the class because it's not my thing. But today we're going to talk about some men that God transformed, that were a mess before they came to him, but afterward they're known as being mighty men. And it speaks to what God can do through each and every one of us if we just come to him and allow him to work in us. I recently was watching a movie, The Avengers Endgame, and if you've seen the movie, you know that they had been defeated and beaten, and the whole team broke up, and individually they were a mess. But then the opportunity came for them to have redemption and to make the situation right, and they came back together, and they compensated for each other's faults, and they were mighty again, and they ended up saving the world. So in 1 Samuel chapter 22, David is running for his life from Saul. He's trying to kill him. And he's hiding out in a cave, and it says that while he was in the cave, in verse 2, everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, I want you to know the condition of the men that came to him. It says that they were in distress. They were overwhelmed with the issues of life. It says that they were in debt. Some of them, they have financial struggles and problems. It says that they were discontented. That means they were bitter. They were emotionally hurt about some things that may have happened to them. But they came to David just as they were. They came to David in their condition. Now, David was the king. And where the king was at, that's where they came to get refuge. And if you're struggling with something today, your refuge is in the king. Our king is Jesus. And if you come to him, that's your place of refuge. But first, you got to come. It doesn't require you to clean up your mess, clean up your finances, get over some feelings you have about some people that hurt you. It doesn't require you to get over whatever's stressing you in life. All it requires for you is to come. To come to the place where the king is and find refuge. And that's what these men came. They were a mess. And in our text today in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we are going to see what happened to some of these very men that came to David in their mess. And how God used them to serve him mightily. And God could use each and every one of us to serve him mightily. 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning with verse 8. I'm sorry, chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with verse 8. It says that these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite who sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now the first man mentioned here is Adino the Eznite. And he was the head over all of them. He held the highest position over the mighty men. and characteristic of what it's going to be for us to be a mighty man or woman of God is that we have to be people that practice what we preach. This man of Dino just wasn't the head of everybody, but he had a reputation that preceded him. It says that he lifted up his spear against 800 men who he slew at one time. So it wasn't just a title. He wasn't just a Christian who came to church on Sunday. But he was a man who did some things. And when you heard his name, you knew about the stuff that he was doing. And a characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God is that we should have some action that are backing up our claim if we say that we're followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what this man had. So he had a reputation that preceded him. And that's a characteristic that we should have as mighty men and women of God. We need to practice what we preach. Next, we need to be spiritually fit. What does that mean? Let's look at the next man, Eleazar, beginning in verse 9. It says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when he defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were going away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." You see with Eleazar that he was facing a situation where the odds were against him. And he fought until he got weary. But when he couldn't, when his body failed him, what he knew to do kicked right in. His hand locked up against his sword, and he just continued to fight. It was a natural response based on his conditioning. We need to be relentless in our pursuit of the word of God. In Ephesians 6:17, it says we have to take up our sword, which is the word of God. That's the weapon of our warfare. So when we deal with the issues of life and we get weary, our natural response should be to immediately cling to this book, and our life and our actions and how we speak should just come out. Nothing else, not chasing for what the world has to offer. It should be a result of what this book says when we get weary. It says that when he was weary, his hand clung to his sword. That was a weapon of his warfare. Ours is this book. So a characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God means we need to be spiritually fit. We need to be relentless in seeking after the word of God and understanding his principles and applying it to our lives. The next characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God is that we should be good stewards over the things that God has given us. Good stewards over the things that God has given us. Beginning in verse 11, it says that, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Herahite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Now, lentils for them was a source of, it was a highly nutritious source of food. Now, if you notice in the text, there were two types of people. There were people that ran away when what they had was being threatened, and there was somebody that stood and defended it. So it's going to be two type of people. It's going to be somebody who doesn't appreciate the resources that God has given them, and somebody that does appreciate the resources that God has given them. Shammah was somebody who appreciated the resources that God had given him. So he stood in the midst of the field, understanding that this was something that was beneficial to him. It was something that God had given him that he valued. And he defended it when everybody else ran away. We need to be good stewards over the things that God has given us, because it doesn't belong to us. Everything we have belongs to him. So we need to honor him with the resources that he's given us. With everything that we have, our money, cars, jobs, we should be functioning in a manner that he's being glorified and not just wasting what he's given us on our own desires. That's the characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God. We are good stewards over the things that God has given us. The next characteristic is we have a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. Continue reading in verse 13. It says, and 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Ephraim. And David was then in the hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. It is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. David didn't ask them to go and get the water. He was just stating a desire, a longing that he had. And these men took it upon themselves. They heard what he said. So you got to be attentive to what people are saying when you're in conversation with them. We can't be so busy running, getting to where we want to go, that we're not hearing what people are saying. Because we're surrounded by people who got needs every day. So they heard what David said, and they responded by taking it upon themselves to meet his need or meet his desire to have something met. We've got to have a heart of compassion to those that talk. We can't just be so busy to get to where we're going. I know people that are so busy to get to church that they don't hear the needs of the people in the street because they just so busy to be in the building. Those people are important. They need to see Jesus. And here we already see him. They need to see it. Like, we got to be mindful of that. It's not always about getting in the building. And the result of it was that David said these men risked their lives. In Leviticus, it said the blood belonged to the Lord. Because Jesus, he shed his blood for us. The blood was the atonement. So by having a heart of compassion, Jesus ends up getting glorified. It ain't even about us. Because David didn't drink the water. These men risked their life to go get it, and then he poured it out and glorified God. Because they risked their life. And that's the characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God. We have a heart of compassion. And the result of having that heart is mean that God's going to get glorified. The next characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God is that we serve with excellence where God has placed us. I'm going to say that again. We serve with excellence where God has placed us. Verse 18. It says, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. You see, Abishai had talent. He was good. He was a bad man. Him and his brothers was always ready to take somebody head off, if you read the stories. It's actually one of my favorite verses when I read about him and his brothers, because David always had to tell them, listen, what am I going to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Because they was always ready to take somebody head off. But for all his talent, he wasn't amongst the, he wasn't up in line, he wasn't second, he wasn't third. But you see him, he still functioned with excellence. He didn't complain about what was going on over here. He didn't complain about what was going on over there. But where he was at, he did it with excellence. Are we serving with excellence? It's easy to complain about what everybody else is doing when we ain't doing it. But when God has you, whatever position that is, whether you're cleaning the church, singing, in the nursery, in the back, being an usher, are you doing it with excellence? Are you worried about what everybody else is doing? Abishai didn't complain about not being top in line. But what he did was that he served with excellence. And that's a characteristic of a mighty man and woman of God. Wherever God has you, You should be doing it with excellence because you're doing it unto him. I think we're going to get out early today. Next is that the characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God is that we should be building a godly legacy. We should be building a godly legacy. Again, verse 20, it says that, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. Now, the name Benaiah means he was built up by Jehovah, and his father Jehoiada was a chief priest. We read that in 1 Chronicles 27, that he was a chief priest. So there were some things that was invested into his life, that were poured into his life. And you're going to see these things based on the actions that he performed. First, it says that he slew two lion-like men of Moab. So if you didn't believe he did the first time, he did it again a second time. So that means he was consistent. Somebody taught him the value of being consistent in the things that he did. Next, it says that he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. It's hard enough to walk in the snow. But he went into a pit and slew a lion on a snowy day. So somebody taught him that he needed to have a firm foundation. There was something to put into his life, the value of having a firm foundation, so that when he went into that pit, he knew how to position himself with solid footing and able to fight that lion and defeat it. It also says that in verse 21, and he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. So that means that somebody taught him that he needed to be able to perceive danger from a distance. Because this Egyptian had a spear, so that means he was able to take him out from a distance. So he had to be able to see the danger, strategically move to get close enough to the Egyptian to be able to take out that threat. We need to be able to see the danger that threatens our homes, our families, our jobs from a distance, and then make moves accordingly to eliminate it, not even bring those things in, because they're going to cause disruption. These are all things that was taught to him, and you see it based on the action that he took. So we talk about building a godly legacy. His name means built up by Jehovah. His father was a priest. There were some things that was poured into his life that we see based on the actions that he acted out. But not only that, it ended up trickling down. In 1 Chronicles 27, 5, it also says that in 5 and 6, that this Benaiah, who was mighty among the 30 and above the 30, and then his course was Amazabad, his son. So his father taught him some things, and now you're seeing with his son behind him watching his father do the same things that his father taught him. Characteristic of a mighty man or woman of God is that we leave a godly legacy and change the generations that are coming up behind us. We have to be pouring into somebody with all the things that God has given us and has taught us. But I want to go back to where they were before they came, because they came a mess, a hot mess. Ain't that what they say? They came a hot mess, but they came to the place of refuge, and that was where the king was at. So if you came here today and you a hot mess, you could meet the king today. And where the king is at, you have salvation, you have deliverance, and you have victory. So today is the day of salvation, but you might already know where the king is at, but seem to have forgotten that You're a mighty man or woman of God. And you've been operating in your condition in which you came to the king, broken, a hot mess. Today could be the day to be set free from that too and turn back to being who God called you to be. And that's a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, and operating in that power. That said, I'm not even going to stretch it out, but I know Pastor set some people aside to pray. So if you guys want to come up, because I think it's time to pray, because I think that people forgot who they are, forgot your identity. And today is a day where you could get back to being who God called you to be. And that's mighty men and women of God. Every head bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today, you don't even know. If you haven't even come to the place of refuge where the king resides, today is a day of salvation. And you could be set free today. You don't have to change nothing. You don't have to change your act. You don't have to fix nothing up. You just got to come. Jesus is Lord. And in him, you're going to find rest. In him is refuge. So if you're here today and you just want to, you're done with all the stress of life. You're done being distressed. You're done being discontented. You're done being in debt. Come today and be set free. Just raise your hand. Got people here that's ready to pray for you. You could come and be set free today and find refuge in the king. But if you know the king and have forgotten who you are in him, forgotten your identity in him, today could be the day where you could be reminded that you are mighty, a mighty man or woman of God. So come here today and pray. And just remind yourself who God created you to be, mighty, and operate in that might. Life is too short. We have everything we need in the pages of this Bible to serve God mightily, to apply it. But we got to step up to the plate, especially us men. We got to step up to the plate. Begin to practice what we preach. Begin to work on our spiritual condition. Begin to be good stewards over the things that God has given us. Begin to have a heart of compassion. Begin to serve with excellence wherever God has placed us. And begin to start leaving a godly legacy and not leaving a mess of destruction behind us, making bad choices and decisions. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness and for your love. I thank you, Lord God, for your power, Lord God, and for your presence, Lord God. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for Jesus and all that he did, Lord God, to change us from being a hot mess to transforming us to being mighty, Father God. And I ask you today, Lord God, to give us the courage, Lord God, to just come to that place of refuge and depend on you, Lord God, to transform this hot mess into being mighty and living in confidence and walking in authority, Lord God, based on all that you have done. I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness and for all that you are, Lord God. And I just ask you to be with us all today, Lord God, as we go our separate ways, that we will walk out of here in confidence, Lord God, knowing who you are and what you are capable of doing and have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.